So we just have a little bit of odds and ends to finish up with tzad. So the first is a very interesting Magen Avraham, Simon Shinta Zion Sif Katan Chaf Gimel, that relates actually to Pikuach Nefesh. If you look at that Magen Avraham, he's talking here about the killing of insects or other things. It's going on Sif Yud. And the Shulchan Aruch said, as we discussed last time, that if you have animals that are not endangering you and they're not chasing after you, so then you may not kill them. But it's mutter, and even though it's you're miskaven to kill them, it's mutter. You look as though you're not miskaven. So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud learn like the other Rishonim, not like Rashi, that Lefitumo is a heter, even b'miskaven. Interestingly enough, by the way, in Sif Yud Aleph, when he talks about Drisus Rok Lefitumo, there he seems to learn like Rashi. And even though it sounds like there should be no chiluk between the two, the Beis Yosef sounds like maybe there is a tzad to be machalik. The Vilna Gaon Lashitaso learns that the Shulchan Aruch is not going like any sheet that's being inconsistent. That's why he says, and so in Aleph, we're just more machmir, choshesh for Rashi, keno she'enu, elemi shmini asusa.
But Rebbe, isn't like Rok fundamentally different because there's no danger?
Well, that's his point. His point is that in Sif Yud Aleph, he's machmir, and he says that it has to be eno miskaven. It can't be like
because
Rashi.
There's no danger.
Right.
The only reason we're matring kavana is because it's malach hashen etzrich legufa b'malkom tsar.
Okay, so that's a great shot. That's exactly what the Vilna Gaon says. It just doesn't account. It doesn't accord with any position. There's no rishon that says that, because the heter of mesiach lefitumo in the gemara, not mesiach lefitumo, the heter of lefitumo in the gemara is said one right by the other. It's very schwer to say that one's talking about miskaven, one talking about animal miskaven. It says about both of them, it's Rok is darso lefitumo, and this animal you step on lefitumo, there's no chiluk. Whatever it means in one, it means by the other.
Right.
So the Gemara says, you're right, it means the same thing in both. It's just we are more makel in Sif Yud, because there's a more of a tzorech to be makel, and we're more machmir in Sif Yud Aleph, because it's just an issue of miyasusa. That's the way the Gra understands the pshara of the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it's not like anyone reads the Gemara like the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. It's just that it makes more sense to be machmir in Sif Yud Aleph, because it's just an issue of grossness, and to be more makel in Sif Yud Aleph. Sif Yud. Now, I was just saying it's the Gra l'shitaso. Remember, we've seen many, many times that the Gra doesn't think that the Piskei Shulchan Aruch have to accord with any opinion, any single view. They could be inconsistent with each other. It's just, al pi klali hora, this is what comes out lemaisa, even though it doesn't accord with any particular shita one way or the other. So you see another place where the Gra is doing it. In the Beis Yosef himself, he tries not to do this. In the Beis Yosef, he says, maybe somebody would even read the Gemara this way, like Yoni is suggesting, because there's more of a reason to be more machmir when it's just a issue of miyasusa. But that's very, very dochuk reading in the Gemara, which is why the Gra just bites the bullet and says, yeah, the Beis Yosef is being inconsistent. Anyway, that's a parenthetical point. So lemaisa, what did the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch said, at least by these creatures, so darson lefitumo, and he explains that this is true even for the Rambam, as the Magid Mishnah explains why. And then he concludes, we'll skip towards the end. So these people that kill the spider, I assume Shmamis is a spider, de iser gamorhu, da enem azekes. That's not right. Spiders don't harm anybody. We're not talking about like a tarantula. After Yesh Lacha Sheyipo Tamacho, maybe afraid that your spider's going to fall into the food. Apparently, spiders falling, you know, we're not talking about poisonous spiders that bite people, but at least they were afraid, they were concerned that when you eat a spider, so that could be dangerous. So he says, so maybe you should be allowed to kill the spider because maybe it's going to fall into the food. So he says, no, milsa de lo shchichahu. That's not very likely. V'yachal chasamachal, in any way you could cover up your food. V'gam echad me'elef shehi misakenes. In any way, what are the chances? How many spiders actually are dangerous, even if they fall into your soup? 1 in 1,000. L'cheish, l'chein, yeshlum chos biyadim. And therefore, those people who kill the spiders are acting improperly. So this Magen Avraham is fascinating on many levels. One point, which we're not going to get into now, is the beginning. Because at the beginning he says, "Af b'makom shein mamisin mota l'darsim mipnei shash sakanas nefashos," and he says there that because al pi arov hein mamisin, in other words, a creature that al pi rov is mamis, even b'makom shein mamisin is mutter. So what does rov have to do with anything? If you look at the Machza Shekel, for example, he says, "Why you don't need a rov? Even mechza al mechza." You could kill for pikuach nefesh, which is a very strange question because what do you mean mechza mechza? Even a miut you could kill for pikuach nefesh. What does he mean by that point? But that's not what I want to focus on though. What we're about to say might relate to it. I really want to look at the end of the Magen Avraham. The end of the Magen Avraham. So he says that you can't kill these spiders because even though maybe there's a far-fetched possibility that they might cause a death. Echad mine elef. Echad mine elef. You don't have to worry about echad mine elef. It's 1 in 1,000. Now, it could be that that's because it's echad mine elef, plus you could just cover your food, you know, who says, so cover your soup so the spider doesn't fall into the soup. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah sounds that way a little bit. But there's the piece that I sent you from Rav Sternbach. And Rav Sternbach says, if you read this Magen Avraham, sounds like he's saying something very mechudash. This is the simple reading of the Magen Avraham. He's saying, look, you can't be Mechal Shabbos. Here it's even an Issa D'Rabbanan. You can't do an Issa D'Rabbanan for 1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for 1 in 1,000. And as you could see from that tshuva, the tshuva is actually interesting. Shaila, it's a conversation between he and with Malkiel Cutler about the issue of whether or not the student should be forced to get a measles vaccine and they should be allowed into school without it. I don't want to get into the issues of measles and the like. What's relevant for us, though, is that the Magen Avraham says explicitly, we're not Mechal Shabbos for 1 in 1,000. And there are other places where we see the poskim say this. He quotes a Tshuva Rabbi Kibeger, Chelek Aleph, Simen Samech, that where there's 1 in 1,000, a person has a wound, there's a lot of pain, but the chance of pikuach nefesh, of dying from this, 1 in 1,000. So you can't be Mechal Shabbos. Quotes a letter from the Chazon Ish, Tshuvos and Ksavim, Mem Ches, who writes that we have to be careful not to declare something as pikuach nefesh so quickly, even for a very remote possibility, and this will give support to Mechal Shabbos. So you here have a number of sources, but most importantly, this Magen Avraham. This Magen Avraham who says, Echad Minei Aleph is not enough to be Mechal Shabbos. The problem is that there are other sources that say black on white that you are Mechal Shabbos for Echad Minei Aleph. For example, the Magen Mishnah, which is quoted by the Magen Avraham himself. Magen Mishnah is explaining the Rambam. The Rambam, generally speaking, holds that pikuach nefesh is hutra in the sense that you don't have to be mishana. You don't have to be mishana. It's hutra, and you do whatever you need without doing a shinoi, even if you could do a shinoi. But when it comes to yoledes, it's clear from the Gemara that if you can be mishana, you should. Remember, we saw that whole Gemara about bringing the oil to the yoledes. And we discussed that in the Sugya Shechita B'Seyar. You put the oil in her hair and all that cheshbon. But you see, the Gemara takes for granted that if you could be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, with a shinui, without endangering the patient, you must do so. So how's the Rambam going to explain that? So the Magen Mishnah says, the Rambam will say that giving birth is different. Echad minei elef, one in 1,000 people. So it's a surprising statistic. You know, in the olden days, there were a lot of women that died from childbirth. We could talk about what exactly he means, but what's relevant for us is that he takes for granted that dying in childbirth is echad minei elef, and he says it's mutter. The only nafkamina is that even the Rambam, who normally says you don't have to be mishana, here you have to be mishana. But it's pashut that echad minei elef you're mechal Shabbos. So we have a stira. Which one is it? And as I said, the Magen Avraham quotes both. So which one is it? Here the Magen Avraham says echad minei elef, you're not mechal Shabbos, and by the case of the Oledas, which again is quoted Magen Avraham Siman Shin Lamed, Siv Gimel, or Siv Katan Gimel, he says you are a Machal. So the answer is that a number of poskim say in their own ways, including Rav Sternbach over here, but the idea is basically the same, which is it depends if there's a Chol Shabbos Lefanecha or not. If there's a Chol Shabbos Lefanecha, then your Machal Shabbos, even Echad Minei Elef. So here you have this woman, and she's in labor, and you have the Chol Lefanecha. Sorry, not Chol Shabbos Lefanecha, Chol Lefanecha. You have the danger in front of you, right? It's not like some far-fetched possibility that a danger will arise in the future, but right now she is a Chol Lefanecha. Now it's true that the chances of leading to death are very remote, but you have the Chol Lefanecha. So then we say 1 in 1,000, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. You're allowed to drive to the hospital on Shabbos or whatever you need to do for her. Just you should do it with the Shinoi. Mashayim Kane, in the case where we're Machmir, like this case of the bugs, so it's not a Chol Lefanecha. You have this spider, right? Right now, nobody's in danger. Not even remotely. The spider is just walking around doing, minding its own business. But you think, if I don't kill the spider, then who knows? Maybe, you know, Tuesday, he'll fall in my soup and kill me. So that is not a Chol Lefanecha. That is not a current concern. That is a future concern. When it comes to a future concern, then we say Echad Minei Elef is not grounds for Chilul Shabbos. Since right now it poses no threat, there's a tiny concern about what might happen in the future. That's why it's us. So that's how Sternbach explains this Magen Avraham. But again, if it's something Lefanecha, something before you, you know, we were talking about with Aaron, was telling me after Shir, we talked about stitches. So I had said that if you don't know what you're doing and you have a big gash and you don't know, maybe you'll need stitches, maybe not. So I said, look, you don't know. You have to be Machal Shabbos if you don't know. And Aaron was telling me that his father told him, tell me if I'm saying this incorrectly, that it's almost never the case that if you don't get stitches immediately, will there
No, you could tell if you need stitches right away, almost all the time. So if you're like Misupuk, so just confirm with the doctor that this is the case. But not that Rov Pe'amim, meaning it depends on the gash.
Right. So what's, anyway.
It's not Rov or not Rov. It's just like you, if it's a, you look at it, if you see it's like gushing or just like a little smaller. Yeah. Ruben, my brother was telling me that he thought it was Dover Pasha. You could tell I've never been around people that have gashes, so I don't know if it's Pasha or not, but my brother seemed to say it was Pasha.
Okay. So whatever it is, let's say it's not pashut to you, right? So here, you have this wound. And the point is that this wound, this is the information I was told that Dr. Berman said is wrong. So it still needs bearer. You could have a certain type of wound that is not gushing, but because it's so big, it could get infected if it's not stitched up. But it's echad minei aleph. So since it's echad minei aleph, but it's something in front of you right now, so then Chol Shabbos would be appropriate, even according to this Magen Avraham. What the Magen Avraham is machmir about is you have this spider crawling around, and it could be in, you know, a couple days from now, it'll jump in somebody's soup. So that is not grounds for Chol Shabbos. That's the chiluk that I think Rosh Sternbach is suggesting. So it could be.
If a spider would fall into your soup, and it's 1 in 1,000, that spider is poisonous.
Right.
That would be applicable. That it would be the heter, be mutter.
No, that would be awesome. Because you don't, right now he's not in your soup. He's just.
No, I'm saying if he's in your soup. Right now, the soup in your.
Oh, if he's in here, you know, don't drink the soup. You don't need the chal shabbos to kill this.
Is there
right.
Right. Right.
Is there? Could he do and then drink?
The point that Rosh Sternbach is saying is what the Magen Avraham is coming to be. Aser over here is what the Magen Avraham is coming to Aser over here is that it's not in your soup now, but if you don't kill it, who knows where it'll end up, you know, right? So that's not, there's no current situation of Pikuach Nefesh. It's a future possibility that might arise. So then you're still allowed to be Machal Shabbos if it's a likely possibility. But if it's a far-fetched possibility, if that's when it's aser. Now,
Rebbe?
Yes.
Is the pshat that like you need like there's like a chalos on the gavra that the gav that you need like a cholav banecha, or is it a mathematical point that like in other words, it's because the chol rev is just mathematical. The chol you can calculate it. In other words, like what are the odds that if a guy if a person has a heart attack, there's a certain percentage he's gonna die. If a person has a spider near their soup, there's a certain percentage he's going to die also. Like, it shouldn't matter. Like, okay, so then so the 1 in 7,000.
In other words, that's why it seems to me that this is a lamda shechiluk. Now, as I said, this chiluk is already old. There's a famous Nodi Yud about it. It talks about autopsies. There's a famous letter, the Chazon Ish, that talks about building a hospital on Shabbos. Maybe, I think I don't mean to dodge the bullet now. But I do think this is not the whole sugya, and we'll have a chance to, when we do Pikuach Nefesh, we'll return to it. But I think the point that Donnie's saying is correct. This is not just a question of statistics. In other words, let's give this particular example. You have a spider. If you don't kill the spider right now, there's 1 in 1,000 chance that it will end up in somebody's food and they'll die. Right now, there's no danger to life whatsoever because you're watching the spider and you're watching your food and there's no danger, right? But if you don't kill it now, what's going to happen? The spider will go back into its wall and come out sometime later and maybe he'll get into somebody's food and maybe they won't notice and maybe they'll die. 1 in 1,000. Nobody's going to die immediately, but it's a future concern. That's one possibility. So and there we say, echad mine elef, you can't be Machal Shabbos. Then there's another possibility where let's take the example that we said with the cut. There's this big cut. Right now, you know, you're not going to die from bleeding because, you know, it's not, you got the it's not gushing blood. But because the wound is large and it's open, if it's not sewn up, then maybe an infection will develop and there's 1 in 1,000 chance that this wound will kill you, okay? So in that case, it's different. Now, statistically, they're the same. They're both echad minei aleph, 0.1%. 0.1% chance that if you don't act now, somebody will die. But how we relate to it is very different. That's the chiddush of Rosh Sternbach. And again, there might be a number of applications to this. This relates to a very famous chiluk made by the Aruch Lener, which we probably don't accept the way he says it, but the chiluk itself might be true on a different level, right? For example, we know the way the Aruch Lener asked the question, this is in the Tshuva Spinyan Tzion, is he says, look, we know that people can endanger themselves for parnasa. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of the person walking up into the tree to work for you, elavu noseas nafsho. So it's mutter to endanger yourself for, even for parnasa. The Gemara.
What about right now? What about right now? Is wish you endanger yourself?
Just one second, one second, one second, one second. The Gemara Nida talks about the people who are sailors. Is why they're such big tzaddikim. I don't know. You know, this is before pirates, I guess. So why are the sailors such big tzaddikim? That's because they're always davening. Because they're always their life is always on the line. Because you know they're sailing in the sea and there's a storm and they start davening and doing tshuva and the like. Unbelievable. Like the people in Yonah's boat. So that's why there's such big tzaddikim. But you're allowed to, you know, the Chovos Halvavo says, you know, why should you pick such a profession? Okay, so maybe it's not the ideal choice, but it's not usher, right? If a person wants to be a sailor, they could be a sailor despite the danger. Yet we also know that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, like we said, for 1 in 1,000 in Holchan. But people off Navish Basar Roth. How could it be you're allowed to get to, you know, engage in a profession that there's one in it? We could go out to sea, even though there's 1 in 1,000 chance you'll die. And yet, you're at the same time, you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos if there's 1 in 1,000 chance you're going to die, right? So he makes a similar chiluk. He makes a similar chiluk between a situation that's in front of you versus a future possibility. In a case of sailing, it's a future possibility. Right now, you want to know, am I allowed to step on this boat and go out to the deep blue yonder? Right now, there's no pikuach nefesh in front of you whatsoever. In a week from now, there's going to be a storm at sea, and that will put your life in danger. Yeah, but right now, there's nothing, so it's much better to go onto the boat. Now, he goes so far, and this is the part that we probably don't accept, that to say, and therefore, we follow Rove. In other words, if it's not a pikuach nefesh lefanecha, you follow rov. So even if there's a 49% chance you're going to die, it's still mutter. Okay, that far we don't go. But the fundamental chiluk is exactly what Rosh Sternbach is saying over here. Or that we distinguish between something that's lefanecha, not lefanecha. Another example that the poskim discuss, as I mentioned, is autopsies. You know, there's a discussion, what about doing an autopsy on a person? So if we're dealing with a case where, let's say, somebody died, the first person of corona died. If we do an autopsy, we could see what the insides of his body look like and save people that are sick right now, because we'll learn about that, or harvest his organ to save someone who's sick now. So that's mutter. But what about you want to do an autopsy to just know more about medicine and learn more and the like, because the more knowledge you have about medicine, the more lives that could be saved at some point in the future. Or for that matter, be Michal Shabbos to go to medical school because, you know, 6 years from now, you'll save somebody's life. Or for that matter, being Michal Shabbos to build a hospital on Shabbos, because the quicker you build the hospital on Shabbos, the more lives that will be saved. So there, again, this isn't so pashut. The poskim generally say, you can't be Michal Shabbos right now. Again, it's not so clear cut. There's a Tshuva D'Chassam Sofer talking about the draft and the like, where it might not sound that way, with Moshe's tshuva about Tzala drivers coming home on Shabbos, so that next time they won't hesitate, seems to go against that. Again, that's part of the taina that Rav Eliashiv has against Rav Moshe and that tshuva. So this is a bigger topic, and as I said, hopefully we'll when we do the sugya of Chol HaShish B'Sakana, we will come back to this. But the basic distinction is one that you find in many poskim, and that's how Rav Sternbach, at least, explains our Magen Avraham. Gabe, you had a lot of questions. Please.
So it should follow, according to this, that a nurse who is working in the hospital with coronavirus isn't the case of pikuach nefesh. Odds of any one nurse getting sick are very small, and she's not sick yet, so she shouldn't be allowed to shower when she gets home.
No, that's not true, because there it's and I agree that it's not always how to apply this rule, but there the virus is here, and you're
the
washing it off.
Here.
There might be a virus here that you're washing off your skin. So that's a very No, it's not true. Because over in the case, I understand, I agree that this distinction is not always easy to apply. But the in the case of the coronavirus, the concern is here right now, more so than, let's say, like we were saying, an example of building the hospital on Shabbos or the like. Even though you could reliably predict that, you know, this hospital will be finished in 18 months if we work on Shabbos, and in 21 months if we don't work on Shabbos, and, you know, over the course of those 3 months, you could reliably assume that, you know, some lives might be saved if the new hospital's built. Still, that is insufficient because nothing...
That's more than enough time, though. That should work even... That hospital case should be mutter even according to the Binyan Pio. And there you have a rove that life will be saved.
So that's a question. Maybe would a rove make a difference? But I just gave that as an illustration of a case that it's not... something that's not at all a fanecha now. Now, what you're pointing out, which is a good question, is, well, maybe this answer for Schoenbach is a bad answer because the bug is lefanecha. So what Schoenbach is saying is, yeah, it's true, the bug is lefanecha, but the chshash from the bug is not lefanai. And therefore, even though the bug is lefanecha...
Why is the chayla different?
What?
Why is the chayla different?
Yeah. As in, when you have a pregnant woman, so right now, what's going to happen is there might be a complication which will put her life in danger. That complication isn't lefanach.
No, right now, again, I'm conceding the point that applying this isn't always pashut, but in the case of the pregnant woman, she is laying before you right now. We have the patient, we have the chola, we have the concern, and it's here right now. Right now, a complication might develop that could lead to her death. She might not die for a week or two, but right now, the complication can occur that could lead to her death in 2 weeks from now. And therefore, even though it's 1 in 1,000, you could be Mechalel Shabbos, just like you said in your example of the nurses from coronavirus. Right now, the concern is that right now, if I don't wash these germs off my body, so then right now, I might develop an infection that could kill the person in 2 weeks from now. So because the concern is right now, it's immediate, so then you could be Mechal Shabbos for 1 in 1,000. In the case of the bug, there is no concern right now, none whatsoever. Right now, the bug poses no danger to anybody whatsoever because I see the bug and I see my soup and I see the bug isn't in my soup. And this bug right now is definitely not going to end up in my soup. No chance, no chance, zero. But, you know, what will be if it leaves and then comes back and who knows? But that's totally a future concern. Right now, there's zero concern. So that's why there's a very big difference between these two cases. That's my understanding of what he's saying. So that's his suggestion about the yeshuv to the Magen Avraham. Now how that applies to measles, so ayin sham in the tshuva. Okay. Another issue that comes up over here in this Magen Avraham is on the Prima Gadim on this Magen Avraham. Eshel Avraham, Sif Katan Chaf Gemal. The Eshel Avraham writes, Ushmamis, Lididan darsin lefi tumo kerebi shimon, aval harbi adayim aser af lididan. So, a spider, for us, lididan, for us, you could still do it lefi tumo according to Reb Shimon. Now, what does he mean, lididan, for us? So, the way this is generally understood is it means for us that there are zero spiders that ever pose any danger to life. But still, it's going to be mutter lefi tumo. In other words, here in New Jersey, there are zero spiders that are ever life-threatening, even if they end up in your soup, right? None whatsoever. L'didam. Still, the Prima Gadim says, lefi tumo is mutter. So why? Why should lefi tumo be mutter if there's zero chance of danger? So Rav Nissim Karelitz on this says, you see from here that the heter of lefitumo is an even more potent heter than kelachar yad, meaning to say that you couldn't do in this case melacha kelachar yad, but lefitumo, that's mutter. We actually talked about this a little earlier in the year, but I thought we would come back to it because it's on our simen. Either way, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with his prima gadim. He says mechatesi, it should be mutter ledarso if there's no concern at all. And this is what the Bir Lachatz on our simen Dibur Maschal Afilu. He writes the Shamis. Primagadim thinks it's mutter. If you don't hold the Rambam, but the Mishnah Berurah thinks that's wrong, not the correct reading of the Magen Avraham. I don't know how the Prima Gadim came up with this conclusion. So what emerges then is a machlokas here between the Bir Halacha and the Prima Gadim. Is it mutter to kill a spider lefitumo? That's not a mazik at all. According to Prima Gadim, it's mutter. It's less than klachar yad. It's a very kalis or dirabanan. Even though the spider, you know, grosses you out, I don't know, gets the kids to like scream a little bit, but it doesn't pose any type of danger whatsoever. Prima Gadim would say it's mutter, Mishnah Berurah would say it's aser. If you look at Taz, Sif Katan Yud, and the Prima Gadim over there as well, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, this is on the next simon, that by Drisus Rok Lefi Tumo, it's mutter because of Miasusa, and even though it's a Psik Resha Denichalai, so, if that's the correct interpretation of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's what the Taz certainly maintains, so again, you see this idea that Hatter of Lefitumo is a very potent kula, right? It's a very potent kula that we're matir even because of Miasusa, even though it's a psik resha. If you look, though, at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Nun, he disagrees with the Taz. He says, no, they were not matir psik resha ki agafna. The reason why it's mutter ledarso as harok to smush in the rok lefitumo is because it's darvashen miskaving. It's not a psik resha for malacha. It's a darvashen miskaving that it's going to cause malacha. Now the Mishnah Berurah himself asks on himself, if I'm right that this heter is really because of darvashen miskaving, so why do we need a heter of special heter of miasusa lefitumo? This is always mutter. You're always allowed to do darvashen miskaving. So the Mishnah Berurah himself answers, take a look at Shatzion Ein Ches, that Al Karachach, you have to say that no, the Pshat in the Gemara of Drisus Rok Lefitumo means that really normally we would have made an Isser Durabanan over here, Shema Yechavein Lahashvos Gumos, but because of Miasusa, they didn't make this Isser Durabanan, and they left it as it is, so Memela, it's mutter alts davar shenu miskafein. But we're talking about a case where it's not psik resha. That's the Mishnah Berurah. But he acknowledges that he's against the Taz. The Taz is mutter even though it is a psik resha. I thought you could be medayik that the Magen Avraham also learns like the Taz. Why? Because Magen Avraham writes the following. Shema bizman hazeh, you shouldn't do this anymore. Why? Because we don't care so much about Rok and Miasusa, right? No, the days of Magen Avraham, people were spitting all over the place, and it's not so gross to have spit on in the middle of your living room. So therefore, you shouldn't employ this kula anymore, right? Now, if you learn like the Mishnah Berurah, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because if you learn like the Mishnah Berurah, this is Darshan Miskave. It's true, Bimei Chazal, if it wasn't for Miasusa, they would have made a Gzeira. But Lamaisa, they didn't make the Gzeira. So therefore, there's no Gzeira here. And therefore, even though nowadays it isn't so miastic, and, if nowadays Chazal maybe would have made a Takana to Aser this, but Lamaisa, they never made the Takana. Because in the days of Chazal, it was miastic. So L'chora, you should have said, Heter B'makom Omedes, it's still Mutter. But the Magen Avraham says, no, the only reason why we're makel is because it's really gross. And nowadays, it's not so gross. You should be machmir. Oh, so if you learn like that Magen Avraham, so clearly he's learning that this is not just a heter. It is a real heter. It's not just darshan miskaveh. The Mishnah Berurah obviously didn't learn that way, because Mishnah Berurah cites the Magen Avraham and he says his own shtickel. But to me, it seems that the Magen Avraham and the Taz both seem to agree with each other, which is that this heter of Miasusa is one that's mattering something that under normal circumstances is actually usser, not just something that under normal circumstances they theoretically would have been gozer against it. But as I said, Magen Avraham is quoted in the Sifkata Nun Aleph of the Mishnah Berurah, so he's not saying it the way I am. One way or the other, what we see from these two simanim is that according to some poskim, the kula of lefitumo is a very broad kula. We saw this in the view of the Prima Gadim, who's matir killing spiders nowadays, lefitumo, even though they're not mazikim anymore. We see this in the Taz and Magen Avraham by being matir psikresha, b'makom miyasusa for the spit. And we see that the Mishnah Berurah consistently denies them. He argues with the Prima Gadim about killing the spider nowadays. He argues with the Taz about permitting to be Darius on the Roke when it's a psik resha. And the Mishnah Berurah's view is that the Heter of Lefitumo basically is a very, very weak kula, as opposed to, again, the Prima Gadim and the Taz, at the very least, who see this as a very strong kula.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Just in terms of trying to understand this Taz, the Prima Gadim, like, isn't that like a huge chiddush? Like, what would it be about, right? Because lefitumo doesn't mean that you're, honestly, lefitumo, you're putting on an act. So, like.
Well, wait. There's a difference between the two simanim. In other words, in the heter of, by the bugs, and sif yud of lefitumo is even b'miskavin. The heter in Sif Yud Aleph by the Roke Lefitumo is Dafka Eino Miskavin. That's a Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz says it's still a Pesach Resha, but it's not Miskavin. So it's not, it's only an act in Sif Yud. And in Sif Yud, like we said, the Hechreach for leniency is much more potent. Either because of the tzar. Now, we noted before that the Rishonim themselves are Nechalik, Pashto, because the Gemara itself treats the Kula the same way. It's both Lefitumo. But the way we Paskin, we are going to Paskin that the Heter of Lefitumo in Sif Yud by the bugs will hold true even when it's Miskavin. But the Heter of Lefitumo in Sif Yud Aleph will only be true if it's Eino Miskavin, even though according to the Taz, it's true even when it's a Pesach Resha, though it's Eino Miskavin. Now, that also is there such a thing as a Pesach Resha that you're not Miskavin for? Yes.
But like, so meaning the Nafkamin is like after the fact? Like, you find out that you stepped on Roke?
No, I'm going to walk across the room right now. And inevitably, I'm not miskaven for the malacha. I'm miskaven, I know I'm going to step on the rope, but I don't know if that's going to cause malacha. I don't know if that's going to cause hashvas gumos, for example. So I'm now walking across the room. Now, it's lefitumo. Nobody knows, you know, as any onlooker sees me walking across the room, and they just think, I don't know, I'm walking across the room to get a sefer. They think, he's a rabbi. He must be going to get a sefer. In reality, I don't want to learn. I just want to smush in the roke, right? But I'm not mechavein for hashvas gumos. But there's a psik resha that if I step on that as I walk, it's going to be mashve. It will be a mashve gumos. But I'm not mechavein lakach. So that is as opposed to sif yud, where your mamish mechavein to smush the bug. Right? Sif Yud, I see this bug and I want to kill the bug. And my whole goal is to kill the bug. And so I walk away. Now it's still a fitumo, because the onlooker thinks maybe I'm getting a safer. But my kavana is hinini muchel muzuman to kill the bug. That's mutter still. Sif Yud Aleph, we wouldn't be matir that. If you're mechavein to be mashvagumos. But according to the Taz, still you're kavana. You're going, you know, when you step on that rope, you know, inevitably, it's going to be mash v'gumos. It's a psikresha, still it's mutter. Now, it could be that, you know, one of the reasons why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't want to say like that is exactly the sentiment that you're suggesting. Right? I'll read you the Lashon of the Taz. It's Sifkat Yud. V'af al gav de memelo mimareach peirosh v'avei psik reisha d'mod v'pshim and d'asir v'lo miskavein ha'chamosh ter mishum yasusa. So, because you're eno miskavein l'mareach l'hashvos gumos. Right? Let's just read the whole Lashon of Shulchan Aruch to make it clearer. It says, we're going to read Shinta Sain Sefir Aleph. L'yishav shifir aglov rok she'al gabi karka mishum debasha gumos. So, you can't, if I have, you know, some spit on the floor in front of me, dirt floor, I can't take my foot and be mishav shef biragla. Right? Why? Mishum debasha gumos. Avomotel adarsal fituma. So if, you know, as I said, it's in the middle of the room and I'm just walking across the room. Sheinu miskavin l'mareach. I'm not miskavin l'mareach l'ashvus gumos. Which the Taz says means, even though it's inevitable that this is going to happen, still it's mutter. Ki lo machavin shari misham yasusa. When you're not machavin, it's shari misham yasusa. Right? So, besides seeing that, and it's nichalei, I mean, in a certain sense. So you, besides seeing, by the way, like we said before, a very big kula in the gader of Lefitumo, we also see that he's taking a side in terms of the concept of psikresha, that you could have a psikresha and still call it eno mechavein. Now it's eno mechavein because you're not mechavein for melacha.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But it is a big chiddush. I agree with you that the Mishnah Berurah's position is much, much easier to understand. But on the other hand, I think the Mishnah Berurah's reading of the Gemara is a little more difficult because he's forced to say that the Gemara, there isn't really a kula over here. It's just a theoretical gzeira that they didn't make, right?
Like the Merkava submission in the Rambam.
Similar type of idea, I think. Cool. Okay. Okay, Shnayim Shasa'ua. So the Mishnah Kovav on the base by Tzeda quotes a machlokes Tanaim about Shnayim Shasa'ua. The same machlokes appears earlier on Sadi base, on the base by Hotza. It's an interesting question. Why we repeat that over here if we already said it. Tosas Yanta says maybe Agav Orche. It's a little bit difficult. Is there something specific about Seda that might have made you think that it's different? Does this relate to all the other peculiarities about Seda we've discussed? Is an interesting question. But one way or the other, there is a machlokas tonight here about Shnayim Shasa'ua. If we look at the Gemara, actually, it turns out that there are three shitos on this question of Shnayim Shasa'ua, and these are based, the Gemara explains, on how you darshan the psukim in Parshas Vayikra. One type is where two people, each one does a half a melacha. So, for example, ze'oker v'ze'meniach. That everybody agrees is pater. The second type is where you have two people doing the melacha together. Each one does the entire thing with a partnership. And within that second type, there are two categories. One is ze yachol, ze yachol. And two is ze eno yachol, ze eno yachol. So if two people carry something, let's say that, you know, it weighs 20 pounds, so one person could carry it, but they both carry it together, that's, we'll say, case two. And case three is two people that carry something that weighs 200 pounds. Each one couldn't have done it on their own, but together they could do it. So we have three, on these three cases, we have three positions in the Tanoim. Remeir says, the only time you're potter is by ze'oker v'ze'meniach, where you, each person did a chatzi melacha. So even though between the two of them, a melacha shlema was done, we're potter because each one did a chatzi melacha. But if the two of them did it together, whether it's ze'yachol, ze'yachol, or ze'enu yachol, ze'enu yachol, then you are chayav, according to Remeir. Reb Shimon says, no, he takes the other extreme. All three of them are potter. We learn from the psukim that all three of them are potter, and even Zeinu Yachol, Zeinu Yachol, you are potter. In the middle view, Rabbi Yehuda's view, which is the way we paskin, is that it depends. Zeokav Zeminiach is potter. Ze Yachol is potter. But Zeinu Yachol is chayav. And that's the way we paskin. So, as I said before, the source of these rulings is Gzeiras HaKasuv. It's not just a svara. Now, svara might play a role here, how you darshan the psukim, but at the end of the day, it's rooted in some type of Gzeiras HaKasuv, and specifically, how many drashos you think you can make from these psukim, as the Gemara says. So, the question is, why, or is there any svara? So if you look at Rashi on our Mishnah, meaning Kufav on the base by Tzeda, Rashi says that the Ptur is because it's Lav Orche. It's Lav Orche. It's not normal to carry Zeyachol Zeyachol, right? Why would, if each person could carry this on their own, or could trap this animal on their own, so why are they doing it together? That's a very Mishnah-dika way to do the Malacha, and that's where you're Ptur. Now, Rashi clearly isn't saying that it's a svara or it's a full-fledged lav orche, because like we said, the Gemara Tzadi Beis says you need a drasha for this p'tur. L'chora, what Rashi means is that the reason why we darshan the p'tur to only be about zeyachol zeyachol and not to exempt every case of Shnayim Shasa'ua is because it's much more reasonable to say that Zeyachol Zeyachol's potter, because that's a Mishnah Dika way to do it. Whereas Ze'enu Yachol Ze'enu Yachol, that's the normal way you would do this. So then Mistama, that's not what the drasha is coming to be Mimait. In other words, we have this idea many times. When we deal with drashos, it's true you have Gzeiras HaKasuv, but which case you apply the Gzeiras HaKasuv to, well, we'll use Svara for that. So we have this Gzeiras HaKasuv pattering us from Shnayim Shasa'ua. One Gzeiras HaKasuv patters you from Chatzi Melacha. Second Gzeiras HaKasuv patters you from Shnayim Shasa'ua. Well, it makes sense that the Ptur is going to be stated with respect to Ze Yachol, where it's Lav Orche, as opposed to saying that Gzeiras HaKasuv is applying to Ze'enu Yachol, where that is Orche. That's what Rashi says. So it sounds like the Gedder of the Ptur for Rashi, though it's rooted in Gzeiras HaKasuv, might relate to it being Lav Orche. The truth is it's not so simple, because if you look at Tzadi Gimel Amid Aleph, Di Ramaschil Mipnei, he adds another twist. It sounds like he's saying that the reason why you're potter for Ze Yachol, is because each of the two people are considered a Misayaya, and Misayaya in Bomamish. So it could be that Rashi over here isn't telling you the Makor, right? The Gzeiras HaKasuv is the Makor. He's telling you the Geder Adavar. And the Geder Adavar is the reason why we see each of these two people as potter is because Misayaya in Bomamish. So it's interesting. If you just said Rashi on Kovav, you would say the Gadr, the Ptur might be Lav Orchehu. From this Rashi, you get the impression that it's the reason why we darshan the Psukim to be talking about Zeyachol, Zeyachol, is because that's a case of Lav Orche. But the Gadr Ptur is because each one is considered a Misayaya only, and Misayeya in Bo Mamish. It's actually interesting because over there in Tzadi Gimel and Aleph, we're talking about Tumah. In other words, we're not even talking about Chatas per se. That's probably because Rashi thinks we're able to learn to extrapolate from Chatas to Tumah, which is a point that we'll get back to shortly. Anyhow, that's what Rashi says. So Rashi, as I said, at the very least, emphasizes in our Gemara that this is because it's Lavor Chai. There's another svaros found in Rishonim. I think a very fascinating svara found. It's quoted by a number of Rishonim, including the Ritva and the Baal Amor and other Rishonim. His name is Rav Moshe Rav Yosef. We don't see this Rishon so frequently. But Rav Moshe Rav Yosef says that the reason why Zeino Yachol and Zeino Yachol is Chayav is because each one of them acted b'chol kocho. They tried their best, right? Mashem keng zeyachol zeyachol. They weren't trying their best, so they're not chayv. It's like a modernish svara, you know. In the olden days, if you produced good, and if not, you failed. It doesn't matter how hard you tried, right? Nowadays, we say, oh, everybody who tries should pass and get an A, right? So Moshe Reb Yosef anticipated this. If you try your best, we'll give you a chatas. If you don't try so hard, so then we'll let you off the hook. You know, you could ask, Mech Tesi, you know, you need kol kolcho. It's not like there's a Jesu Kasa to be chai for Shabbos, you need kol kolcho. I was sort of joking before, right? If I act on my own, I don't need kol kolcho. If I carry something that weighs 1 pound, so I'm not carrying b'chol kolcho, I'm still chayiv for chilul Shabbos. So it could be what he means to say is that the tzad to pater you is because you've done an insignificant action or you're batel somehow to the other person, you're batel to the second guy. So therefore, if he does a b'chol kolcho, he's not batel. But if both of them, and likewise, if both of them do it b'chol kolcho, so we can't, they're not batel. But if one of them, but if neither of them do it b'chol kolcho, so then they're batel to the other guy. And therefore, pater, the way we saw Rashi formulated is that they're like a misayeya, and they're pater. Doing it b'chol kolcho means that I'm not just doing an insignificant act that will be batel to the other person, or doing an insignificant act that could be defined as misayeya. And therefore, so if I myself am doing the malacha, right, I'm the only one carrying this object, even though it's not kol kolchi, it weighs 5 pounds. But still, I'm going to be chayev, because I'm not batel to anybody, I'm the only one doing it. I can't be called a misayeya, because there's no one else helping me. But once there's another person involved, so then if I don't do a b'chol kolchi, so we'll say, okay, I'm batel to the other guy. I may act as insignificant. I'm a misayeya. It's garnished. And therefore, I'm pater. But anytime I am doing a b'chol kolchi, so then I'm always chayev, even though the other guy's also doing b'chol kolchi. So that's the gader according to Rav Moshe Rav Yosef. Anytime you do b'chol kolcho, you're chayev. If you're not doing b'chol kolcho and there's another person involved, then you're pater. The third svar that you see in a number of Rishonim, you see this in the Ritva, B'Shem Achreirim, you see this in Ramban and others, is that when you have a situation of Zeino Yachol, so each one, again, it's a similar type of svar, though you'll see it's a little different, each one of them is doing something chashuv, and he's necessary. Not because I'm trying my best, but because my contribution is necessary. So therefore, I'm chayev. Whereas when my contribution is unnecessary, then I'm pater. So again, it's a similar type of lamdus as Rav Moshe Rav Yosef, but a different vart. According to Rav Moshe Rav Yosef, what makes you chayev, what makes us see this as chashev is because I'm trying my best. According to the Yesh Mefarshim and the Ritva and the Ramban, the pshat is what makes me chashev is that I'm necessary. Without me, this wouldn't be done, right? Without me, this wouldn't be done. This is his lashon. Talmud Rebbe, this is the way it's cited in the Ritva. Talmud Rebbe Yehuda mipnei shemalacha tuliyah b'chalacha mehan. He's necessary. His contribution is necessary. D'kevin shitzricha l'zeh, kimbo l'zeh, ach shevei rachmana kilo kolacha mehan asa kulo, right? So the point is, that when it's Zeno Yochel, why you chayev? According to sort of oversimplify a little bit. When it's Zeno Yochel, Zeno Yochel, why you chayev? According to Rashi, because you're doing it in a normal way. According to Ramosha Reb Yosef, because you're trying your best. And according to the Ritva, it's because your contribution is necessary. Three different reasons.
Rashi Kavav says that also.
Yeah. Which one says which one also?
Says that each one is necessary. To blow ishul lamasavta.
That's correct. But what I'm saying is maybe that's because if it's not necessary, then it's lav orche, to try to put the Rashis together, as opposed to the way it's in the Ritva that inherently is the Svara, right? In other words, you understand the difference? Because his contribution is necessary, therefore it's normal, or is because his contribution is necessary, therefore it's inherently valuable and not batel, not begeder misayeh, and therefore chayev?
I mean, the Rashi in Kavav Mebeis says both of those things, like b'chadamachta.
Right. So that's my point.
In other words,
as opposed to in the Ritva, where it's a svara on its own, you don't have to come on to lav orche, right? Conceivably, an aftermina would be where it's normal to carry this thing with two people, but one person could do it, right? So your contribution isn't necessary. If you follow the svara in the Ritva, you would be potter. Right, you have this thing, it's a bulky thing, let's say, right? It's a box, a big box that's not so heavy. So it's normal to carry it with two people, but you could carry it with one person. So now I'm not entirely sure that this is what Rashi would say, because like you're saying, you get mixed messages from Rashi. But at the very least, if you were to emphasize the svar that Rashi says on the Mishnah, and he says in a couple of places, of orche and lav orche, so you would wonder, maybe there's a tzad to be chayev, because this is the normal way to carry this thing. It's totally orche, because it's so big box, even though one person could carry, but normal way to carry it is with two people. Maybe, I'm not sure this is a nafkamina, but maybe you would be chayev, according to Rashi, when two people carry it, because that's a normal way to carry it. Whereas if you emphasize the svara of the necessity of his contribution, then for sure you would be potter, even if it's a normal way to do it. Okay? So the Gemara on Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph says like this. The Gemara says that ze yachol, the ze eno yachol, divrei hakol chayev. If one person can do it on his own and one person can't, let's say it's a box that weighs 100 pounds. So one guy's a big, strong guy, and he could carry a 100-pound box on his own. One guy is a weak guy. You know, maximally, he could carry 70 pounds. So it's Zeh Yachol, Zeh Yachol. What's the din? So the Gemara says, everybody agrees. All three Tanaim agree. In that case, you're Chayev. So the Gemara says, I'm a Chayev. Who? Which one of the two is Chayev? So the Gemara is all shocked with the Tarya about the Eno Yachol. Is he Chayev or not? Isham Isayayah. So Rav Chista says it's pashut that the Yachol is Chayev because the other guy is Misayeh in Bo Mamish, Legabe, the Eno Yachol. But Rav Hamnuna, it's unclear. That's what the Gemara is clarifying. Rav Hamnuna questions Rav Chista's pshitas. So the question is that the Rishonim grapple with over here is there really a tzad in the Gemara that actually who's going to be chayev? Just the Enu Yachol. In other words, when you read the Gemara Kipshuto without thinking too hard about it, so it sounds like the Gemara actually has such a tzad within Rav Hamnuna's view. Maybe the Enu Yachol should be chayev. And the Yachol should be potter. So how could you have such a havamina? How could you possibly imagine that the Eino Yachol would be chayav and the Yachol would be potter? How could you have such imagination to say this? So says the Balamor, and this is quoted in the Ritva as well, He says, this is the Balamor is Lanham and Beit Bedabi Rif. The Rif is over here. He says, oh, this is Geshmak. If you learn like Reb Moshe and Reb Yosef, why? What was the Svara of Reb Moshe and Reb Yosef? He said that at least Bedas Reb Yehuda, whenever you try your hardest, we're going to be behind you. So over here, the guy who is Einu Yachol is trying his best. The guy who's Yachol, he's not trying his best. So there's a Svara, at least, at Sad, to argue that the Einu Yachol should be Chayev, and the Yachol should be Potter. And that's how he reads the Shaka Vataya and the Shaila of the Gemara, Haminem Chayev. The Ritva doesn't like this. He says, for one thing, because that Svar is only true for Rabbi Yehuda's position, right? That's why Rabbi Yehuda says, Zeinu Yachos, Zeinu Yachos Chayev, because each one is Kol Kocho, whereas Zeinu Yachos, Zeinu Yachos Potter, because it's not Kol Kocho. But the Gemara over here said that L'kulei Alma Yer Chayev. And so the Shaka Vataya has to work according to all the Shitos. And it wouldn't make any sense according to the Shita that even Zeinu Yachol, Zeinu Yachol is Potter, because obviously they don't hold to the Kol Kocho Svara. So how could we still have the Shaka Vataya of Haminah L'chayev? So therefore the Ritva says a different Svara. He says that maybe over here the Havamin of the Gemara is not that only the Zeinu Yachol should be Chayev. The Havamin of the Gemara is both of them should be Mechayev. Now, why? Why would you possibly say that both of them are Chayev? Because there's a Svara to say each of them should be Chayev. There's a Svara to say that the Yachol should be Chayev because he can do it on his own. And there's a Svara to say that the Einu Yachol should be Chayev because he did it with Kol Cholcho. Masha'en Kain, when did Zeyachol Zeyachol? So there's no Svara to be Mechayev, both of them. And even when it's Zeinu Yachol, Zeinu Yachol, that's worse, because both of them are equal, and there's no tzad to be mechayev one more than the other. So since they're shutfin, equal shutfin, they're potter. But in this case, we have one svar to be mechayev the Einu Yachol, because of Kol Kocho. We have another svar to be mechayev the Yachol, because he's the central doer. And memela, since they're not equal, so memela, there's a svara to say that they're both chayev. That's the way the Ritva says it. And this is actually interesting, because what you see is that there's more of a tzad to be machmir when they're unequal partners than when they're equal partners. This is a similar svara. We talked about the sugya of Misayah, Yesh Bo Mamish and Ein Bo Mamish. For example, by Kochel, Lesa'ayin, we say that even according to the Man De'amar, Misayah Ein Bo Mamish is a tzad to say here Yesh Bo Mamish because his participation is necessary. He needs to be ma'amet or whatever it is. So we see from this that it's only when they're equal partners that it's more obvious that they're potter. Okay, anyway, this is some of the interesting lumdas in the Gemara. But how does it come out lamaisa? Like I said, we pass on like review to one way or the other. So is there any lamaisa applications of this? So one of the very interesting questions that comes up on the Shaila is whether it's a Ptur Chatas or it's not Arsar Midaraisa at all, A, and B, is this a Ptur specifically with respect to Hilchos Shabbos or something that is Chayav a Karban Chatas potentially, or is it a Ptur B'Kol Tarkula? Now, the reason why this question arises, both of these questions arise, because, again, the Drasha that we use to Potter over here is a drasha from the Yikra Perek Dalet from the Parsha of Karban, Parshas Chatas. Karban Chatas. The Pasuk says, oh, you're potter from a Karban Chatas. So maybe all it is the Ptur Chatas. But it could be that it's still an Isser Deraisa by Shabbos, or even if you don't say it's an Isser Deraisa by Shabbos, it could be still an Isser Deraisa for things that aren't in the Parsha of Chatas, even for Yisurim and Shabbos that aren't Chiyuve Chatas. So that's why this is a question. So this is actually dealt with a little bit in Rishonim, but among the Achronim, the classical source to discuss this is the Makor Chayim, the Nesivos. The Nesivos wrote many works, as we've learned on Yeridea. We learned a lot of Chavos Das. On Choshe Mishpat, he wrote the Nesivos HaMishpat. On Or Chaim, he wrote the Makor Chaim. Now, most of the Makor Chaim is in Hilchos Pesach. That's where most people study it. But he has a little bit of Haros here and there on other parts of Or Chaim, comments on the Magen Avraham. And in my Friedman edition of the Shulchan Aruch, you could look at it in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. It's on Simon Reish Samach Vav. It's on page Shin Sadi Dalet in the Friedman edition in the collection of Achronim there in the back. If you want to see, it's also cited partially in Dirshu note 34. Anyhow, so he clears about this Shaila. I'll read you a little bit of what he says, and then we'll consider some of the Rayos. You know, one of the reasons why he brings up this question is there are other sugyas and shas that seem to be dealing with questions of Shnayim Shasa Uha that don't bring up the issue of Shnayim Shasa Uha. For example, in Sanhedrin, it talks about 10 people that kill a person, Asar Adam, Shargus, and Nefesh. There is actually a drash over there, but doesn't bring up the Petur Chatas, doesn't talk about the Sugya Shnayim Shasa Uha. It talks about this in the Zvachim, about Shchutei Chutz, where you have multiple participants. And again, no mention is made to Shnayim Shasa Uha, which makes you wonder, what is the scope of this Petur? So this is what he writes. L'chorei afshar l'hamtzi hater chadash im agala hi b'shnei susim. Let's imagine you for whatever reason you want to carry something in a wagon on Shabbos. We know that that's usher. But let's imagine that that one horse would be enough to carry this load. It's a load of 500 pounds. One horse can manage 500 pounds. Now you have two horses carrying it. When it comes to two people, we would say it's not an Isser Darais, it's Shnayim Shasa Uha. So maybe it should be Motor, but Behemta L'chatchila. There's a principle that if something would only be Aser Midirabanan for a person to do, then it's Motor for a Behema, or more Makel for Behemos. If it would be Isser Darais for a person, then it's Aser for Behema, Aser Darais. But if it only be an Isser Darabanan for a person, then Behemot's Motor L'chatchila. And there's no Isser of Shvisas Behemto, in this case. So it would only be a shvus of Ein Rochvim, which maybe you could deal with over there. So this would be a good etza to be matir al Shnayim Shasa Uha by your horse. But then he says, maybe not. Why? Because look, kro ze nemar al kol averos, the lo shavos b'vad. Don't tell me this is... Oh, okay. I'll finish in 5 minutes. It's okay, don't worry. They want me to finish anyway in 5 minutes. So don't tell me that this is a Petura unique to Shabbos, because we know it's Exer Sakasa from Vayikra Perek Dalet. So clearly it shouldn't be limited to Shabbos. But he says no. Right, could go the lo matzino zel if tor shar averos could go shnayim shacharshu b'shvias o shebishul b'maser b'chalav de b'shabbes p'turin v'hana chayavin el nira de lo yafinan lav mikarban al shnayim shaseuah de b'chol averos aser afshar de gam linyan lav de mechamer shisus behem to gam kinas. This is like this. So if we're going to say that it's just a p'tur chatas, so now we know that Mechamer slash Shisas Behemto, that is an Isser of Shabbos. It's an Isser Derais of Shabbos. But it's not Shayach to a Karban Chatas. And therefore, the Ptur Shnayim Shasua isn't relevant over here. And therefore, since we're not dealing with an Isser Derais of Achil Shabbos Chiv Chatas and Memela, then the Heter of Shnayim Shasua doesn't work anymore. Ayin Sham, he brings Rais back and forth. So that is Rabbi Kivager. Sorry, the Makor Chaim, the Nesivos. The Nesivos is saying maybe this should be limited basically to cases of Chatas. And therefore, even in Hilchos Shabbos, where we're not dealing with the Chi of Chatas, like animals doing the Malacha, so then there's no Ptur of Shnayim Shasa'ua.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
But why is the terminology Shnayim Shasa'ua even relevant? Like, if you want to tell me that you're doing machamer with your behemoth with a shinoi, so I can understand that, but The person who's violating the Isser is the Bailim. There's only one Bailim.
Yeah, but each animal is doing nothing. Misayim bo mamish. So misayim plus misayim, zero plus zero is zero.
But that's not Shnayim Shasu'ua. You'll call that something else.
That's Shnayim Shasu'ua.
No, there's only one Bailim who violated Mechamer.
I know, but no, but Mechamer means that I do Malacha through my animal. And no
okay,
animal
so then you did Malacha through your animal with a Shino. You're doing it two animals in one. That's
no,
not Shnayim Shasu'ua.
No. I didn't do Malacha at all through my animal. If you were to understand this Hatter more broadly, I didn't do Malacha at all through my animal. Because each animal did nothing. It's zero plus zero. I there's no animal that did any malacha.
No. I can understand.
I am chayiv for the malachos of my animal. But if my animal didn't do malacha, I'm not chayiv. No animal did malacha.
Fine. So it's not that I can't understand that it'd be a heter if you do it in a weird way. But
no, you do it in a normal way. If you think that the heter is not totally in weirdness, right? Not like maybe you could say from Rashi. But you think that the heter is because, again, rooted in Exeris HaKasav, because each one is treated as a Messiah, Hashem Bo Mamish, let's say. The way Rashi even says on Zadi Gimel, or the way other Rishonim say it. Or you say it like the Ritva, or you say it like, either way. The point is that that this is nothing. There's no animal that did any Malacha here, so I can't violate Shabbos for the Malacha of my animal if no animal did Malacha. That's his Rabbi Kiv Eger on the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Tezayin, is Medayik from the Rambam, in Hilchos Kilayim, that there is an Isser Deraisa by Shnayim Shasa'uha in other places in Halacha. The lesson of the Rambam over there is Agala Shayim Moshchen Osa Kilayim. Right? So you have two different species of animals pulling a wagon. Hayoshev Bagala Loka. Afal Pi She'en Shelo Hinhig. She Yeshivaso Goremis Lehema. Right? You have 100 people involved. Kulan Lokin. 100 animals. So he has a diok that you see over here. There's no Ptor Shnayim Shasu'ua for Malkus. That's what Kiv Eger's diok. The Chai Adam, Klal Tes, Sif Tes, disagrees. He says, he has a kasha. He says, why isn't Shnayim Shasu'ua din of Chatzi Shir? And he answers, Chatzi Shir is different because you only did a Chatzi Shir. Mashenkin Shnayim Shasu'ua, that it's all, one person is involved in the whole thing. So he says that there's an Isser D'Rabbanan. And actually the truth is from the Rambam, it also sounds like there's an Isser D'Rabbanan by Chatzi Shir. And Perk Aleph Halacha Gimel, he writes that when he writes by Shnayim Shasu'ua, he writes it's Pater, which sounds like Pater Velasser. So it sounds like from the Rambam that there's an Isser D'Rabbanan by Shnayim Shasu'ua in Hilcha Shabbos, though by Kol HaTorah Kula, there's a Chi of Malkus. So what would that mean? That, let's say it like this. We have a couple of options what you could have said, and then we'll say what, you know, what it sounds like from the Rambam. One option is you could have said, even for Shabbos, it's an Isser D'Oraisa, it's just a Ptur Chatas. You see, that's wrong, because the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, you're Potter. You could have said, you learn from Shabbos to call it Tur Kula that you're always Potter from Malkus. No, that's wrong, because by Hilchos Kilayim, he says you're Chayv Malkus. So it sounds like anytime you're dealing with a Chi of Chatas, then it's totally Pater Midaraisa, only Asa Midrabanan. And therefore, at least for Hilchos Shabbos, at least for Chiyuvei Chatas, there's not even Isser D'Oraisa at all. But for other areas in Torah, like Kilayim, so then it's Isser D'Oraisa and you get Malchus. That's what I think the simple reading of the Rambam, if you put all the Diyukim together, is. So this comes out L'maisa. Let's say I have according to the Rambam, there's an Isser D'Rabanan when you do Malacha Al Yidei Shnayim Shasu'ua. So this is very relevant. We know, let's say, if you have a Cholash Yesh Basakana, if it's Efshar L'Shanos Mishaninan, if you could do a Shinoi without in any way endangering the patient's life, so you should do it with a Shinoi. So L'Chayra Shnayim Shasu'ua is a good Eitza, right? And that's what the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa writes. He says, look, let's say, you know, there's no good Shinoi for one person to do it, but you could do this Malach HaYidei two people. That would be a Isser D'Rabbanan if it's Zayachal Zayachal. And therefore, doing, you know, when you can't have a Shinoi for one person, just have two people do it. I don't know. you know, different examples of things where sometimes it's not easy to do with the shinoi. So just have two people to do it together. That's what Rebbe Akiva, that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Paskins. Not everybody agrees. If you look at the Piskei Tshuvos, he says, no, maybe not. Because here, if I do it, so then two people are involved. If I do it, just one person, then only one person's involved. And since it's a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, maybe one person should do it. Give it to me. I'll take it. Just one person should do it. One person should do it. See, Aaron, it's not you, just you who gets to bring the little babies to shear. So if it's Al Yedei Shnayim Shasa Uha, so then only two people are doing a small Isser. Whereas if maybe since it's Pikuach Nefesh anyway, it's better for one person to do it normally than two people to do it with a Shinoi. That's what the Piskei Tshuvos says. But the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, and Rabbi Willig, I know, agrees with this, he says, Ma pitom, two people doing an Isser Drabanan is definitely better than one person doing an Isser Deraisa. So Rabbi Willig thought, yeah, makes sense. If you can't have a Shinoi, there's no good Shinoi for one person to do it, then two people should do it B'Tara Shnayim Shasua. Now, whether this applies to other Tchumen and Halacha, so we saw that's a big Machlokas Achronim, and it's probably also a big Machlokas Rishon as well. So Rabbi Willig has an interesting story he tells about this. When after Rav Nissen Alpert was Nifter, he was the Rosh Kolo for Yad Yadin. I think he was Nifter in 1986, shortly after Rav Moshe. So the next year they decided to bring in a temporary Rosh Kolo until they were going to figure out what to do. So they brought in a big Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael, who was, I think, the nephew of the chief rabbi at the time. The chief rabbi at the time was, what was his name? He was the Rabbi Avram Shapiro, who would later become the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Arav. So he had a nephew, I think, who was also named Rav Shapiro. And he wanted to come to America anyway, Rish Willig said, because he wanted to get his daughter married. But anyway, so he became the, he was the Rosh Kolo. So he didn't come till after Sukkot. And like when he first came, you know, Dr. Lamb, who was the president at the time, wanted to like show him, like, we know how to learn. So he arranged a meeting with Rav Schechter in his office, you know, they could talk and learning. So apparently the chief rabbinate came out that previous day with their tshuva on brain death, where they were makel on brain death, following Rav Moshe's view, which means you could pull the plug on brain dead people if, you know, under certain circumstances. But they had a whole procedure in terms of how it should be done. So one of the things that they said in these procedures was, well, since it's a shaila, it's a machlokas, so you shouldn't have like one doctor or one nurse pull the plug. Rather, you should have two people do it together. It'll be shnayim shasehua, right? Same bolamish. So that was what they wrote. So Rabbi Schechter came in and he said he was very unhappy about this. And so, you know, as soon as Rabbi Schechter met the person, he's like, how could you say that? Misayim bo mamish. That's just a ptur chatas. But there's still an iser deraisa. There's still an iser deraisa. What is this? Doesn't help anything. And he said back, no, it's a ptur. At least it's no iser deraisa. The Rambam says pater. If it was an iser deraisa, the Rambam wouldn't say pater of a loser. It's an iser. It is a ptur. And Rav Schechter brought Rios his way and. You know, these are two people that were, the way Ray Willick says it, is both of them were Bucky and Shas, both of them bringing Rios from all over Shas, one way or the other. As I said, it's really a big machlokas. We've shown him a big machlokas achronim. It's sort of interesting because this Rabbi Shapiro really loves the Or Sameach. He said the Or Sameach was his favorite sefer. And the Or Sameach, Ray Willick points out, actually holds like Rabbi Schechter. So he's surprised that he said it. So, dear. But anyway, one way or the other, this so they were arguing the whole time about this question. instead of being like a nice cordial meeting where he got to meet Rav Shechter and see the Rosh Yeshiva, it turned out to be a very Mulchamto Shel Torah at the very least. So that's the story. Okay. So this doesn't count towards my time because this was just a story. You're going to say something, Aaron?
Yeah, we Donnie and I saw that the Rashba in his shoot, uh-huh. The Tosus Rid say Behedya, that it only applies to Shabbos Basosa.
And but it can't just be Shabbos if it's a drasha from Bayikra.
I know, we didn't understand that. We tried to work it out. We couldn't figure it out. And the Rid.
The truth is, I don't know if you know how to fully explain it, but you know that we especially learn out from that parsha things that seem to especially relate to Shabbos, like in the drash of Achas Mehena, we learn Chiluk Melachos and Zadon Shabbos and Chiluk Melacha. So even though those are the Pashto says those are Peturim that are relevant only to Shabbos. The etzem, they would be shaykh to everything else. It just, you don't need it to be said by everything else. But it is interesting that the Gemara does especially apply that pasuk to Shabbos, which is maybe why the Rid.
Rabbi himself said that by for the Rambam, right? The Rambam's come up, the Rambam basically is explicit that it's only in Shabbos.
Which is only in Shabbos. Shabbos.
He quoted in the Rambam. And he compares to Chati Malacha. Like, I don't understand. And then the Rabbi Kivager's Raya, the Bam Raya from Kalayim.
Well, Rabbi Kivager's Raya might be shaykh to anything that's in the Parsha of Chatas. So it's not shaykh for a lav. That's the way to get out of Rabbi Kivager's Raya.
But how could that, you know, I don't understand. It's a Kavah Chomer. If it knocks off the lav on the level.
Well, maybe there's a Zersakasta that's shaykh to the Parsha. Of Chattas.
We're not talking about Halacha Moshe Sinai. This is a drasha. It has to make sense. It doesn't. I don't think that would make sense to say that it would. That only Potter's achiv kares, but not achiv lav. Anila maybe.
So therefore, you want to say it's dafka Shabbos, okay? Maybe.
And compared to Chati Malach, in other words, the way Rebbe said it in the Shir was that that Chati Malach is an example of Shnayim Shasua. I don't know if that's the only way to read the Gemara. Now, the Gemara has another drasha from Lasosa that Horaz Bezdin. The Rambam groups the two. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. That's part of the Rambam saying. That's part of Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam probably saying it's only Nisha Drabbanan. But we don't have to learn the Gemara that way. If you learn the Gemara, that it's I don't know if that's the only way to read the Gemara.
I hear. Again, either way, there's a daichak one way or the other, right? But you're saying that the Rambam sounds like the Rid at Stavka Shabbos. Good. That's the way. That's why Rav Shechter wanted to say. Rav Shechter even wanted to say even on Shabbos it's only a Ptur Chatas, but certainly that it wouldn't be applied to anything else. So that's the view, like you said, of the Ritva and any Gudak that way in the Rambam. Okay, one last point, going back to Tzeda for one moment, and that is the halacha of Tzeda by people. So if you look at Siman Shin Ramat Tes Sif Dalad, it's nothing to do with Tzeda. It's talking about judging and things like that. But the it says in the Ramah, "Ein danin," you're not allowed to judge people on Shabbos Hagah. V'lachein, aser litvais u'hachnis leveis esor. You can't chop people and put them in jail. Mishum eschayv is onesh kedei shelo yivrach, so he doesn't run away. It's aser. So it's mashma that it's only aser al tein danin, right? Ein danin v'lachein aser litvos. But there's no iser al tzeda. No iser al tzeda. So, therefore, if that's true, if somebody, let's say a kid runs away, right? Are you allowed to catch them on Shabbos? So, obviously, we're not talking about any case of pikuach nefesh or anything like that. So, you can be medayik from the Ramah that should be totally mutter. Because the only issue involved in trapping people is an issue of done in b'Shabbos. However, you could have said that it is potter, and that's, you know, more or less like the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman, that this melacha is only said by people and not by Baalei Chayim. The problem is that there's a tosfos. The tosfos in Menachos sort of sounds like it is Shaych Tzeda by people. Tosos is in Menachos, Daf Samach Dal and Mid Aleph, Dimaska Lahalos Dagim, and the Gemara Tosos says that if you're Miskavin Lahalos Dagim, Mahala Dagim Matino. So Tosos over there implies, Toch Dvarav, that Be'etim it's Shayach to have Tzeda for people as well. So that sounds like it's against the Ramah. From the Ramah, it sounds like there's no issue of Tzeda for people from Taisus and Menachos. It sounds like there is Tzeda for people and others hold this as well. The Sefer Kogits on the Rambam, Perkyun Halachachach Beis, is Machmir that it's Shayach Tzeda by people. So then you could clear. Maybe it would be Usher to, let's say you're playing a game with your kid in your backyard, that the kid runs away, and then you run after the kid and you chase them and you trap them. Is that an Isser? So it won't be an Isser Deraisa, because your kids come home at night, right? You know, that's the question. Maybe according to the Mechaber, it would be Mutter for sure, because kids are like Chayos, that they're domesticated Chayos that live at home. But the Ramah is Machmir by Chayos, saying a kid's not like a cat. But just look right now, this baby, as I speak, is pulling himself, into the washing machine. And if I don't hold it on tight, he's, I don't know where he's going to go. So you see people, you know, so maybe it should be Shayach and Issa D'Rabbanan by Tzeda, based off of this Tosfos. So the Avnei Nezer makes this Diuk, and maybe it should be Aser. The Avnei Nezer himself says, maybe though you can't extrapolate from that case, because saving the child from the river is unique, relates to the whole shtickle of the Avnei Nezer that usually trapping doesn't accomplish anything, and what makes it a malach is when you do accomplish something. Anyway, Lamaisa, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a different mahalich, why Tzeda doesn't apply to people. He says that in order for one to trap another human being, it has to be that the person is free, meaning, say, he's trying to escape association with any humans. So even someone who's sentenced to death, right? He's running away from the police and he's sentenced to death. He doesn't disassociate with all humans. He just doesn't want to hang around with the police. He's happy to hang around his family. And therefore, that's not Tzeda. So therefore, you could lock him up in prison on Shabbos. It's only, he says, theoretically, if you have a person who has no shaychus with all humans, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar when he ran into the forest. So then maybe it's shaych tzeda by such a person. As he says, maybe it's shaych by a certain type of shota, who's the shota shebarach, and he has no shaychus to any people. But for a normal person who's just trying to run away from certain people, then it wouldn't be tzeda at all. The Mishnah also deals with this. He's talking about Sifkat Yudalit, about a person who's trying to run away and not give a get to his wife and the like. So that would be mutter. There's no issue with tzeda at all for normal people. And according to Shlomo Zalman, it's only even a havamina to say that there's a shaylof tzad by someone who is disassociating from all of humanity at all times. Okay, so we'll stop here. B'siyata d'shmaya, we finished Melechus Tzeda, and Bezus Hashem, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we will begin with Melechus Shochet / Chovel, and I'll try to keep my word and not go long by telling extra stories. Bezus Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Okay, I do apologize. This did take a little longer than I expected. Tomorrow will be shorter. Okay, Zai Gesund.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Rabbi Wiederbling?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to clarify. Most stitches are not pikuach nefesh, but once it's a big gash, so it's not rov. It's like more likely that it's pikuach nefesh. Meaning you have to, it depends
right. on the gash. Right.
Yeah. In addition,
I totally agree. The what seems to be a little bit of a machlokas among doctors is whether you have a situation where right now it's not gushing blood, but if you don't get stitches relatively quickly, so then that could develop into an infection or something like that, and become dangerous. So what your father's saying is that no such thing exists. And also, if it's not gushing blood, then it's
cover it with cover it up with a cloth.
Right, you cover it up with a cloth, and then there's no pikuach nefesh at all. That's what your father's saying. Good.
And also, my father was involved in making guidelines for the aguda. So with the moetzes, I don't know what it's called when all the yeshivish gedolim come together.
Right.
So, Rav Feldman, his first thing was 1 in 1,000 is pikuach nefesh. So I was thinking of that right now.
Oh, gewaldic. No. So that's mamish. So that's what we're saying, because here it's not a future concern; it's a current concern.
So no one argued.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. Okay, Asher Koach.